الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ما بعد فهذا هو الدرس الثالث من الدورة الثالثة من مجالس الآخرة The third class from the third seminar of the gatherings of the hereafter And we continue reading from what the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى The narration continues of Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه سمعت نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من جعل الهموم هما واحدا هم آخرته كفاه الله هم دنياه ومن تشعبت به الهموم في أحوال الدنيا لم يبال الله في أي أوديتها هلك The narration continues of Ibn Mas'ud The first part was موقوفٌ عليه The second part is مرفوع This is what we're discussing now The part that he mentioned in narration ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "I heard your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, 'Whoever makes the concerns one concern, and his concerns, his desires, his intention, one concern, one desire, one intention, the concern of his hereafter, then Allah will suffice him his worldly affairs. And whoever his concerns are divided in the different issues of the worldly life." Then Allah will not care in which of its valleys he is destroyed. And an indication that a person, he must be sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and intend the pleasure of Allah in all of his affairs. And intend the pleasure of Allah in all of his affairs. And as has preceded the narration here of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, it has some deficiencies in the chain. But this meaning here has been narrated by more than one companion. And from that we have which is collected by Tirmidhi rahimahullahu ta'ala from the hadith of Anas radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said man kanat al-akhiratu hammahu ja'ala Allahu ghinahu fi qalbihi wa jama'a lahu shamlahu wa atathu ad-dunya wa hiya raqimah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said whoever the hereafter was his main concern his main intention and desire. Man kanat al-akhiratu hammahu. Some wordings also of this narration, niyatuhu was his intention. Whoever the hereafter is his main focus and his main goal, his main intention, his main concern, his main worry in his heart is that he will be safe and have a high and lofty ranks with Allah Azza wa Jalla in the hereafter. The recompense for that, ja'ala Allahu ghinahu fi qalbihi. Allah will place his satisfaction and contentment, his richness and his wealth inside of his heart. وَجَمَعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ And Allah will gather for him all of his affairs, meaning he will set his affairs in his life in order and make them beneficial for him. وَتَتُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةٌ And the dunya will come to him while it's submissive. And meaning he will not have to work hard to find his livelihood. And whatever comes to him, he will suffice with that. And it will be enough to suffice him. He will be content with that, and it will be enough to suffice him. This is the recompense for the one who is sincere and pure in his intention, intending the hereafter, the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is something that is major. And likewise, the narration continues. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ كَانَتَ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ وَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَهُ وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا قُدِّرَ لَهُ And whoever made the worldly life his main desire and his main goal, his main aim, and this is what he's seeking after, what he's looking for. This is what he hopes for and what he works for, what he moves for, what he sleeps for and what he's awake for. And this is what he wants from his life, the worldly life. Then Allah will place poverty between his two eyes. Places poverty between his two eyes, meaning he will never be satisfied. He will never be content. Even if he is considered wealthy. Even if he's considered wealthy, in his heart he'll be poor. In his heart he'll be poor. He'll be from those in the greatest of poverty. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَهُ And Allah will set his affairs in disarray. His orders and his life will be in shambles. And he will never be able to get anything accomplished. Like some of them, they say, he's been out all day long, going here and going there, and in the end, he didn't get anything accomplished. Working and working and working and trying and trying and trying. And in the day, he does not have anything to show for his efforts. There's no barakah or blessing in his time. There's no barakah or blessing in his time and his efforts. His life is in shambles. It's in shambles. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا قُدِرَ لَهُ. And nothing will come to him from the worldly life except that which is written for him. And he meaning that he will try and try and try, and he will work and work and work and tire himself out, and it's all decreed for him in the first place. He will take money and earn a living and obtain this worldly life, whether in means that are lawful or unlawful, and he will go to extents in that he will wear himself out, literally, and tire himself out. And in the end, he's only going to get what is decreed for him. In the end, he's only going to get what is decreed for him. This is a great narration. This is a great narration. Inshallah, we come back to this narration and discuss some benefits and details with regards to that. The author, he comments on this. He says, "Rahimahullah, inna haqqa ma'atana talibul ilmi bihi mu'alajatu an-niyyati wa ta'ahuduha bil islah wa himayatuha min al-fasad." Indeed, the most rightful thing a student of knowledge must show concern for is treating his intention and going over it, checking it to rectify it, and protecting it from corruption. This is of utmost importance. A great, great advice from the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, especially with the fact how he mentioned this narration here about the one who makes the hereafter his main goal. How Allah Azza wa Jalla will place contentment in his heart, and he will find richness in his soul and in his life by being satisfied with the decree of Allah. And he will seek help and aid and protection from Allah alone. He'll put his faith and his trust and his reliance upon Allah alone. And he will seek the pleasure of Allah alone. And he will hope for Allah alone. And he will fear Allah alone. And he will seek the help of Allah alone. And he will work in the pleasure of Allah alone. And in returns, Allah Azza wa Jalla will place contentment and satisfaction and happiness in his heart. And likewise will set his affairs in order for him and facilitate for him. And this is the means to benefit from knowledge and benefit from the path of knowledge. And the worldly life will come to him easily and submissively from where he could not even perceive. But if the intention is corrupted, it will be contrary. The heart will not be able to benefit. The heart will not be able to truly benefit from this pure and beneficial knowledge. The terms that he's using here is important to pay attention to. We read this statement again. He says, "Rahimahullah, inna haqqa ma'atana talibul ilmi bihi mu'alajat an-niyya." Indeed, the most rightful thing that a student of knowledge should be concerned with, should have great regards and care for, is treating his intention. This word mu'alaja, in the Arabic language, what it means to treat something. It means to deal with something and to treat it. A person who is a patient, he has a sickness, he has to take treatment. Many times before he can be cured, he has to take treatment. And the treatment will be in process, and it will be time after time, day after day. Maybe he's given a prescription. He has to take this type of medication in the morning and the evening, and this is a treatment for him. Or he has to stay away from certain foods, or so on and so forth. Or maybe he has to exercise in a specific manner, or he has to be in the light for a period of the day in order to treat the particular disease and illness that he has. The point is that this word mu'adaj is being used, and this is very beneficial to understanding how to deal with the heart, because the heart, it needs treatment. A person, he can't just rectify his intention one time and that's it. We have seen that the Salaf, they mentioned that one will strive against his heart, strive against his soul to remove arya, showing off and wanting to be seen and praised, and it will come back. It's as if it comes back and grows in another manner, from another aspect. He will fight it and remove it from his heart in one aspect, and then it will not be long. It will grow in another aspect, meaning the devil, he will not stop. He will not leave. He will not leave a person, especially not a student of knowledge. He will continue to try to corrupt the intention. So the intention, it needs تحتاج إلى معالجة والتعهد. These words that he's using here, ta'ahud, likewise, is one of those words that means that you have to constantly go over and check on something. You have to make it ta'ahud with it. You can't just leave it there. You can't just leave it there, because if you leave it there for too long, maybe it will be gone. Meaning, or maybe it will change, or maybe it will become corrupted. Something that needs ta'ahud, you have to check it from time to time and tighten it down and purify it and clean it in order for it to stay good. If not, it will become dirty. If not, it will become corrupted. If not, it will become old. If not, it will become weak. If not, it will become rusty. This is the issue of the heart. The heart, it needs mu'alaja. It needs ta'ahud, that a person, he will time after time treat his heart. time after time, treat his heart, going through the steps of repentance, looking into his heart, being sincere with Allah, begging Allah, crying to Allah to grant him ikhlas, begging Allah to protect him from showing off, to take out these lowly and despicable desires that are in his heart to be praised, or to be heard, or to have status, or to have money, or to have ranks by way of knowledge, that he will beg Allah Azza wa Jalla to remove that, and to free him from that, and to make him from those who are sincere, and yaj'aluhu min al-mukhlasin. He will truly in his heart hope for this. He will want this, and he will beg Allah for this, and he will strive to not be tried by his knowledge, and be from those who are tried by their knowledge, and to be from those whom their knowledge is a proof against them, and not for them. So this requires mu'alaja. This requires ta'ahud. And this is, Allah knows best, in reference to a narration of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, who used the same terminology. Again, from the best of the scholars of hadith, Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri, Abu Abdullah, Amir al-Mu'mineen fi al-Hadith, he died in the year 161. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, ما عالجت شيئا أشد علي من نيتي فإنها تتقلب علي. That I have never made mu'alajah with anything more severe than anything more as severe hard upon me than my intention, because it's always changing on me. Because it's always changing on me. مَا عَالَجْتُ شَيْئًا أَشَدَّ عَلَيَّ مِن نِيَّتِي فَإِنَّهَا تَتَخَلَّبُ عَلَيَّ. I never dealt with anything more hard upon me than my own intention, because it's always changing on me. Because it's always changing on me. In the Arabic language, the word al-qalb, what's that mean? The heart. The qalb, it means the heart. But it's from the verb qalaba yaqlibu. Qalaba yaqlibu iqlib qalaban. Yani this is right here. And aqlibu safha. What am I doing to the page? Turning the page. That's called qalb. Qalbu safha. قَلَبَ يَقْلِبُ إِقْلِبْ قَلْبًا يعني قَلْبِ الصَّفْحَةِ, like this, to turn the page. The word in the Arabic language, heart, it goes back to a root that means turning and changing. Because the heart is always turning and changing. One day a person's happy and the next day he's sad. One time he's smiling and the next time he's crying. Now one day he wants this, next day he wants that. Then he wants to get married, now he's going to wait till later. Now he wants to apply for this university, now he's going to wait. And his heart is always changing, his mind is always changing. And the life's like this. This is the reality of the heart. But one thing the heart cannot change from is being a believer and being a Muslim and desiring the pleasure of Allah. This, a person, he has to focus and he has to purify his heart and clean his heart and keep his heart firm, firmly directed to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and seeking the mercy of Allah and His aid and His help. So this is something that's hard. The Salaf, they say this is hard. They said, I never dealt with anything that was more difficult for me than my own intention, because it's always changing on me. This will only come from someone who is truthful with himself, who is truthful with himself, and who would dig into his soul, deep into his soul, looking for his own deficiencies, looking for his own weaknesses, asking himself, what does he want from life? Why is he doing what he's doing, saying what he's saying? Why did he do what he did? Why did he say what he's saying? Why is he going to do what he... What's moving him in reality? Be truthful with himself. What does he want? Is he truly sincere? Does he really hope for the pleasure of Allah? Or is there something else behind that that's moving him? Is there something else behind that that's moving him? So the one who is true and the one who is sincere, he will be guided to find those defects. He will be guided to find those faults and those defects, and he'll be able to identify the weaknesses in his intention. And it's in this manner, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, that he will be able to fix that. He'll make mu'alaja. He will treat it time after time. He'll not let it go. He'll not let it loose. He'll not let it go. He'll not let it loose. Time after time, he will talk to himself. He'll talk to himself and check himself and review himself and look over himself and remind himself that you have to be sincere, you have to be truthful. You're going to the lesson to seek knowledge, you have to do it for the sake of Allah. If you're not sincere, waylek, you'll be destruction for you. Don't show off whenever and it's something that we're tried with. It's not something that's going to go away. It will rise up in the heart, wanting to be seen, wanting to be heard, wanting to be praised, and the likes like this, especially from people that we respect, especially from people that we like or that we honor. This is going to come up in the heart. But a believer, if he strives and makes this mu'alajah, he will start to recognize it, and he will be able to repel it before it takes root. He'll be able to repel it before it takes root, and it will not disturb him or bother him. It will not bother him or weaken his reward. If it rises up and he repels it immediately, A'udhu billah, astaghfirullah, A'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. I'm doing this is for the sake of Allah. A'udhu billah. What's he going to give me? He doesn't own anything. I want what his Lord has. You know, like this, he'll change his mind. The shaitan will suggest to him, and then he will detest that suggestion and leave it. And leave it. And then go back about his business, and they want to harm him. The point is that this is of utmost importance to make mu'alaja, especially for a student of knowledge, and to not be deceived by the people if they praise you or if they mention good about you. Alhamdulillah, don't let that affect you. You tell the people or you tell yourself, I know who I am. I know who I am. I know my faults. I know my weaknesses. And if they may say that about me, may Allah make me better and cover my faults and not expose what I know to them about myself. So a person, he will just be real with himself and be truthful in his faith and be truthful in his deen and strive to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. If good comes to him, alhamdulillah. If good comes to him, alhamdulillah. But it's not something he's looking for. It's not something he's after. Rather, we'll find that many times the Salaf, whenever they became well-known and they became praiseworthy, they would flee and they would hide. And they would not want to be in the forefront, except whenever it's a necessity or it's something that they just have to take control of because it's a requirement and become a responsibility for them. So, إِنَّ حَقَّ مَا عَتَنَى طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ بِهِ مُعَالَجَةُ النِّيَّةِ وَتَعَهُدُهَا بِالْإِصْلَاحِ وَحِمَايَتُهَا مِنَ الْفِسَادِ. Indeed, the most rightful thing a student of knowledge must show concern for is, number one, treating his intention and going over it. Number two, checking it to rectify it. And number three, protecting it from corruption. He mentioned three important issues. Each one of them is slightly different. Number one, al-mu'alaja wal-mu'ahada. Al-mu'alaja wal-mu'ahada wal-ta'ahud. Meaning that he's going to treat it and he's going to go over it from time to time. He's not going to just let it loose. He's not just going to let his intention loose, let his heart loose, let his deen loose, and just pray like that, or just seek knowledge like that. Nah, he's going to be checking his heart. He's going to be checking his heart, treating his heart, reviewing his heart, taking himself into account. Yuhasibu nafsa. He takes himself to account. And then likewise, he says, checking it to rectify it. Treating it in order to check it, to look into it. He'll make taftish in his niyat, in his own self. He'll make taftish, any checking. Checking and looking into his affair in detail in order to fix any defects there, any defects or any deficiencies. And then after that, likewise, going over it time after time to protect it from becoming corrupted, to protect it from becoming corrupted. And barakallahu fikum, the heart is the place of accountability. And from there, the actions are based. From the heart is the base of the actions. And there are avenues that lead to the heart, and that are the eyes and the ears. So if a person, he wants to protect his heart, he has to protect his eyes and ears. If a person, he wants to protect his heart, he has to protect his eyes and ears. And likewise, from the means that reach the heart as well is the stomach. It's the stomach, what he puts in his mouth, from the food and from drink, and the likes like this. All of these are the avenues that are means to rectify or corrupt his heart, what he looks at, what he listens to, and what he eats, and what he eats, and what he drinks. These are the means, the avenues to the heart. So a person, if he's going to protect his heart from corruption and from defect, these are the avenues and the means he must protect. Because if he lets his eyes loose, then his heart will be affected. If he lets his ears loose, then his heart will be affected. If he lets his tongue loose, his heart will be affected. This is a sign that his heart is corrupted. And he, whenever his tongue becomes loose, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So he says now, رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ, وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ إِنَّمَا اكْتَسَبَ الْفَضْلَ لِكَوْنِهِ خَالِصًا لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. This is because knowledge only gains virtue whenever it is purely for the face of Allah the Most High. Knowledge only gains virtue whenever it is purely for the face of Allah the Most High. A person, if he is involved in these affairs, seeking knowledge and memorizing knowledge, teaching knowledge and calling to Allah, or giving sermons or giving classes or giving khutab and the likes like this, whatever it is, if it's revolved around knowledge, it must be for the sake of Allah, or it will not be accepted. It must be for the sake of Allah, or not, it's not considered virtuous. It must be for the sake of Allah, or it's not good. It's not good. If it's not for the sake of Allah, it's from the greatest calamity. It's from the greatest trials. And it's from the greatest means of failure and loss in this life. We all know the story of the first three, الَّذِينَ تُسَعَرُ بِهِمْ An-Nar. The first three whom the hellfire is will be set ablaze by way of them on the day of resurrection. One of them, he's a student of knowledge. The one who learned the Quran and he taught it. The one who learned the Quran and he recited it and he taught it. And he claimed that he did it for the sake of Allah, but really he wanted the people to say that he's a scholar. Really he wanted the people to praise him, and that happened for him. He got that. إِنَّ مَلِكُ رِمْرِئًا مَنَوَى هُوَ نَوَى هَذَا فَحَصَلَ عَلَيْهِ He intended that. The people will call him a scholar, call him a sheikh, put him in the front, and the likes like this. And this is what he intended, and this is what he got. So in the end, he will say, you're a liar. You did not do it for the sake of Allah. فَأُمِرَ بِهِ فَسُحِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِ فَأُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ So he will be ordered, and he will be drug on his face and cast in the hellfire. Cast in the hellfire. From the first of those to be cast in the hellfire, a person seeking knowledge, a person teaching knowledge. So the knowledge is either going to be a means of virtue and benefit and goodness for a person, or a means of his failure and destruction. And the issue goes back to the intention, again, to clarify the dangers and the importance of this affair. He says, Rahimahullah, أَمَّا إِذَا كَانَ لِغَيْرِهِ فَلَا فَضِيلَةَ فِيهِ بَلْ هُوَ فِتْنَةٌ وَوَبَالٌ وَسُوءُ عَقِبَةٌ As for if it is for someone other than Allah. As for if it is for someone other than Allah. Meaning the knowledge. The knowledge that he's seeking, the knowledge that he's learning, the knowledge that he's carrying, the knowledge that he's teaching. As for if it is for someone other than Allah, then there is no virtue in it. Rather, it will be a trial, evil consequence, and a bad consequence, and evil outcome for that person. It will be a trial. It will be a trial for him. He'll be tried by his knowledge. He'll be tried by his knowledge. And he will lead him to belittle that knowledge. And it would lead him to use his knowledge for the worldly life. And it would lead him to manipulate people and to forget the reward with Allah Azza wa Jal. And he will fear the people and not Allah. And he'll hope for the people and not Allah. And this is the result of that. His heart will be stuck in the earth. His heart will be turned down towards the people. He's hoping for so-and-so to do this and to that for him, or to give him this position or that position. I mean, this is what he's hoping for. This is what he's looking for. Now his heart is attached to the worldly life and not to Allah. And not to Allah. So this is a trial for him. And in the end, it's going to be bad consequences. Terrible, terrible, detrimental consequences and evil outcome for that person. Meaning he's going to be punished in the hereafter. He will meet Allah Azza wa Jal if he died in that manner, seeking knowledge for other than the sake of Allah, or carrying and teaching knowledge for other than the sake of Allah. He will meet Allah when he's angry with him. This is something not pleasing to Allah. This is something not pleasing to Allah. The author, he says, وَقَدْ عُلِمَ أَنَّ قَبُولِ الْأَعْمَالِ مُتَوَقِّفٌ عَلَى إِخْلَاصِهَا وَصَلَاحِهَا كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ قَيِّمَةٌ And it is known that the acceptance of the actions is based upon performing them sincerely and correctly. Correctly meaning according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the Most High has said, even though they were only commanded to worship Allah alone with sincere devotion to Him in all uprightness, establish the prayer, and pay the zakat. This is the upright way. The author, he says, فَإِذَا قَصَدَ الطَّالِبُ بِالْعِلْمِ عَرَضَ الدُّنْيَا فَقَدْ عَصَى رَبَّهُ وَأَتْعَبَ نَفْسَهُ وَبَاءَ بِإِثْمِهِ وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ If the student intends by way of knowledge something from the worldly life, then indeed he has disobeyed his Lord. Then indeed he has disobeyed his Lord, tired himself, and will obtain the sin of that. And nothing from this worldly life will come to him except that which is written for him. Except that which is written for him. All of this is in reference to the narration that we had discussed, that he mentioned from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, likewise in reference to the narration of Anas radiallahu anhu. The author, he says, قال الحسن رحمه الله من طلب العلم ابتغاء الآخرة أدركها ومن طلب العلم ابتغاء الدنيا فهو حظه من الحسن, he said, رحمه الله الحسن البصري, he died in the year 110. From the best of the tabi'in, may Allah have mercy on him. Whoever seeks knowledge hoping for the hereafter, he will obtain that. And whoever seeks knowledge hoping for the worldly life, then this is his share of that, any of his knowledge and his efforts. And this is what he will get. Like what is mentioned of that individual who will be from the first to go to the hellfire. تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ وَعَلَّمَهُ وَقَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ فَقِيلَ لَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ He will be said to him about that. Why did you do that? He would say, تَعَلَّمْتُ الْقُرْآنَ فِيكَ وَعَلَّمْتَهُ فِيكَ So I learned the Quran for your sake and I taught it for your sake. He would say, كَذَبْتَ تَعَلَّمْتَ لِيُقَالَ عَالِمْ وَقَرَأْتَ لِيُقَالَ قَارِئِ He said, you're lying. You taught in order for it to be said you're a scholar, you're a student of knowledge, you're a sheikh, and you recited the Quran so that people would say, oh, he's a memorizer, he's a reciter. وَقَدْ قِيلَ, and it was said. Meaning he got what he was looking for. Meaning he got what he was looking for. So that will be his portion of his knowledge. This is his reward. This is his recompense. إِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. That indeed the actions are by way of their intentions. And every individual will have what he intended. This person sought knowledge and he intended for the people to praise him. And they praised him. For the people to praise him. So they praised him. So if he meets Allah upon that without repenting, this is his outcome. This is his outcome. Naam. So he says, قَالَ الزُّهْرِي فَذَكَ حَظُّهُ مِنْ الزُّهْرِي. He said, this is his share of his portion. This is his share of his portion. This narration here is collected by a number of people from them, Al-Khatib, rahimahullah ta'ala. And Al-Zuhri here may seem that it's Ibn Shihab, Al-Zuhri, from the Atba' al-Tabi'in, from the Siyar al-Tabi'in. But this is not him, this is another narrator. This is another narrator, he's higher on the chain. And he's mentioning this here. He's much higher on the chain and further from Al-Zuhri that is well known. He says this is his share of it, and his share in this life. And that he will, that which he will get. So now he says, rahimahullah, wa ablagu min dhalika qawlun nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fima rawahu Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu man ta'allama 'ilman mimma yubtagha bihi wajhullah la yata'allamuhu illa liyusiba bihi 'aradan min ad-dunya lam yajid 'arfa al-jannati yawm al-qiyamah. The author, he said, rahimahullah, more emphasized than this is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu narrates. Whoever learns knowledge from that which is intended by way of the face of Allah. من تعلم علما مما يبتغى به وجه الله. من تعلم علما مما يبتغى به وجه الله. Whoever seeks knowledge, whoever seeks to learn some knowledge from the knowledge that the face of Allah sought by way of. What knowledge is that? العلم الشرعي, the legislative knowledge. العلم بالكتاب والسنة وبمذهب السلف. The knowledge of the book and the sunnah, the knowledge of the methodology of the pious predecessors. This is what is being referred to here. مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ عِلْمًا مِمَّا يُبْتَغَى بِهِ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Whoever learns knowledge from that which is intended by way of the face of Allah, he does not learn it except to obtain something from the worldly life. لَا يَتَعَلَّمُهُ إِلَّا لِيُسِيبَ بِهِ عَرَضًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. عَرَضًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. لَمْ يَجِدْ عَرْفَ الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He will not find the scent of paradise on the day of resurrection. He will not find the scent of paradise on the day of resurrection. The narrator, he says, yani rihaha, an arf, what was intended here is arrih, any the scent. He will not find the scent, the fragrance of paradise. This is a great threat. This is a great threat. We understand that. Somebody who seeks the legislative knowledge and the intention from seeking that is to obtain something from the worldly life. عرض الدنيا, عرض الدنيا. The word عرض, it means a portion, or it means a part of this life. You need something, some benefit or some good from this life. But the word is from عرض يعرض, عرضان or عرضان, and an عرض is something that comes and goes. An عرض is something that comes and goes. So the things that they come and go, this is called عرض. So عرض الدنيا, any money. Wealth, status, rank, house, car, whatever it may be, these things, they come and go. One day a man is rich and the next day he's poor. One day he's healthy and the next day he's sick. This worldly life comes and goes. Someday maybe he has a new car today and tomorrow it's wrecked. Or maybe he sells and gets another car. The life is like this. These things in the worldly life, they come and go. So this is an example of this life. It doesn't last in the first place. It comes and goes. So how could somebody use this lofty knowledge to seek something that comes and goes and does not last. That comes and goes and does not last. That which will emphasize this for us, barakallahu fikum, is the hadith which is collected by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, rahimahumullah, from the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'd, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى كافر منها شربة ماء. That had the worldly life equal with Allah, the wing of a mosquito, Allah, he would not give a disbeliever a drink of water. Allah, he would not give a disbeliever a drink of water. We understand that. had this world, all of this life, equaled even the wing of a mosquito. This is, I mean, to refer to something very small and insignificant. How small is the wing of a mosquito? It's very small. How valuable? It's very insignificant. It's very small. It's very insignificant. Not even that weight, not even that value. Had the dunya equaled this weight or been at this value, then Allah, He would not give a disbeliever a drink of water. But we find that the disbelievers are living enough in luxury, and they're living up in a life of ease, many of them in this manner. So this is an indication that this life means nothing with Allah, and it's something that does not last for anyone, and it goes away, and it goes away. So how could a person trade this lofty knowledge for this lowly life? How could he trade this lofty knowledge for this lowly life? This is the way. This is the way of al-maghdub alayhim. This is the way of al-maghdub alayhim. They're the ones who use the knowledge to gain a miserable worldly gain. They're the ones who manipulated and they made tahrif and they changed the book and they hid some of it. They would make tahrif and change the book and make kitman and conceal other aspects of the book in order to manipulate the people to follow their desires. In order to manipulate the people to follow their desires. This is the exact trait of the Jews. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ And this is what earned them the anger of Allah. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ They believe in a part of the book and they disbelieve in another part. And if they follow what is in accordance to their desires and what is not in accordance to their whims, then they will not follow it, or they will change it, or they will hide it and conceal it and not reveal it and clarify it. So this is a foul in a lowly way. This is a foul. And the lowly way, and in the lowly way, this is the way of the Jews. This is the way to earn the anger of Allah. So a believer, again, he has to go back to the issue of siyanatul ilm. He has to preserve the knowledge and preserve his soul likewise. He has to protect the knowledge, safeguard the knowledge from using it for this lowly purpose. And he has to protect his soul likewise from exposing it to this great danger of using that lofty legislative knowledge which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a stepping stone to have the worldly life. So the author, he mentions now, قال ابن عطاء رحمه الله في من تعلم لغير الله. Ibn Atta, he says, may Allah have mercy on him, about the one who learns knowledge for other than the sake of Allah. جعل الله العلم الذي علمه من هذا وصفه حجة عليه. حجة عليه. Ibn Atta, he said, may Allah have mercy on him, about the one who learns for other than the sake of Allah, Allah has made the knowledge of the one he knows to have this trait a proof against him and a reason to receive a punishment from him. And if the one that Allah he knows has this attribute, that he's insincere in learning and carrying knowledge, then Allah has made that knowledge a proof against him and has made that knowledge a reason for him to be punished. A person, for example, if he follows his desires and drinks alcohol, is he on the path to Jannah or the path to the hellfire? A person who followed his desires and he looked at women and he fornicated, is he on the path to Jannah or on the path to the hellfire? Is he committing actions that will earn him the anger of Allah or the pleasure of Allah? The anger of Allah. These are sins. From the heaviest of that is to use this knowledge in the wrong manner. Now we go back to that statement of Sufyan, rahimahullah, inna akbah al-ragba, talab al-dunya bi'amal al-akhirah. That indeed the most disgusting, the most filthy desire in the heart of a person is to seek the worldly life with the deeds of the hereafter. And from the best deeds of the hereafter is knowledge. It's knowledge, barakallahu fikum. He says, rahimahullah, the statement of Ibn Atta continues. He says, وَلَا يُغْرَنَّكَ أَنْ يَكُونَ بِهِ إِنْتِفَاعٌ لِلْبَادِ وَالْحَاضِرِ وَفِي الْخَبْرِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُؤَيِّدُ هَذَا الدِّينَ بِالرَّجُلِ الْفَاجِرِ And you should not be deceived if the distant or the one who is near benefits from him. And you do not be deceived that those people who are close and those people who are far. And he meaning that this person, in reality, many are benefiting from him. Maybe people are learning from him. Do not be deceived by that. This is not a proof for him. This is not a proof for him, the fact that people benefit. The fact that people benefit is not a proof that the person, he's sincere. This is the point that he's trying to make. He said, because in the authentic narrations, in Allah liyu'ayyidu hadha deen birrajul al-fajir. That in the narrations authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, indeed Allah will aid this religion with a wicked and corrupt and evil man. Birrajul al-fajir. and he's sometimes someone who is corrupt and evil, even maybe someone who is a disbeliever, even to this level, fajr, kafir, Allah will use him to aid his deed. Allah will use him to aid his deen and to help the believers. Or even sometimes a person, he is a Muslim, but he's corrupted, like he's referring to now. Maybe he's a person of knowledge. I have seen them. Individuals who are misguided. Individuals who are misguided, they're from the Khawarij, but they had effort in the prisons. They had effort in the prisons, and many people would accept Islam at their hands. But we should not be deceived about that. If he did good and he was sincere, then his reward is with Allah. He's still a Khariji. He's still a Khariji. You understand that? He said a Khariji, will not be deceived. Oh, so and so goes to the prison and he teaches the brothers in the prison. So many people accepted Islam in his hand. Alhamdulillah, if he's sincere in that, his reward is with Allah. But he's still a Khariji. He's still dangerous. He's still in opposition to the way of the methodology of the Salaf. So it's not somebody that's praiseworthy. The good that he has is is between him and Allah. But as for what is apparent to us, he's misguided. We will not trust him or be deceived from these good deeds that he has. Because every Muslim has good deeds. So long as he's a Muslim, he's not completely evil. He's not completely evil. So somebody will not be deceived by the likes of these affairs, saying that he become famous or he become popular or he has a lot of followers, people are benefiting from him. And the likes like this, whenever it's seen from him, these traits that we're learning about. These traits that we're learning about. So he says, وَمَثَلُ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْإِلْمَ لِكْتِسَابِ الدُّنْيَا وَالرِّفْعَةِ فِيهَا كَمَنْ رَفَعَ الْأَذِرَةَ بِمِلْعَقَةٍ مِنَ الْيَاقُوتِ بِمِلْعَقَةٍ مِنْ الياقوت فما أشرف الوسيلة وما أخص المتوسلة إليه. So he says the parable of the one who learns knowledge to obtain the worldly life and high status is like the one who uses a spoon of ruby, any a valuable spoon from nice gems, any of these valuable stones, a spoon made from that to lift up feces. To lift up feces. This is the example. He has this wonderful spoon, this instrument that is so valuable and clean and beneficial, and then he can't do anything except pick up feces with it. Akramakumullah. This is the example. He says, so how noble is the means that he's using, but how despicable is the path that's being used or being taken. And he's foul. He's foul. So this is the example. Somebody who's seeking this lofty knowledge, but he's doing it to obtain the worldly life. He's doing it to obtain the worldly life. This is a foul way. This is a foul way. Just to mention here, this person, Ibn Atta, is known as Ibn Atta Allah, al-Iskandari. He died in the year 709. These affairs, they come, so we should mention them. Yani, kana Sufiyan Ash'ari. And although the statements that he's making here, they're correct. The statements that he's making here, they're correct. But the man, he had problems in his creed, issues and the likes, and he was from the huwa min a'zam al-munawi'ina. The Dawahi Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. He was from the greatest enemies and those who harm Shaykh al-Islam the most. Any of this person here. But any some of this statement here, no doubt, is beneficial. So no doubt the author, he selected this statement here for this purpose. He selected this statement for this purpose. But this individual here, somebody who definitely is not reliable, just so that is known. Qala Suhnun. The author, he says, Qala Suhnun. Kana ibn al-Qasim. Qala ma ya'ridu lana. إلا وهو يقول اتقوا الله فإن قليل هذا الأمر يعني العلم مع تقوى الله كثير وكثيره مع غير التقوى قليل. سحنون, he said, رحمه الله تعالى, Ibn al-Qasim rarely would come to us except he would say fear Allah, because a little of this affair, meaning knowledge, along with the fear of Allah is considered a lot, and a lot of it without any fear of Allah, and a lot of it without any fear of Allah is considered a little. It's considered a little. Suhnun, rahimahullah, is known as Suhnun al-Maliki. He died in the year 240. And Ibn al-Qasim, he died in the year 191. Ibn al-Qasim, he's from the greatest students of al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he is the one who wrote al-Mudawwana al-Kubra, one of the greatest works of the fiqh and understanding of Imam Malik, rahimahullah. And he is one of the greatest transmitters of the narrations and of the fiqh and understanding of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and from the greatest of those who transmit from him, As-Suhnun. So this man As-Suhnun, he's from the great scholars of the Maliki Madhab, and many of their narrations and the benefits from the positions of Imam Malik that go back to this individual here. So this is who he's referring to in this narration. He says, Qala Yusuf ibn Hussein. Qala Yusuf ibn al-Hussein, سمعت ذا النون المصري. سمعت ذا النون المصري يقول كان العلماء يتوعظون بثلاث يكتب بعضهم إلى بعض من أحسن سريرته أحسن الله علانيته ومن أصلح ما بينه وبين الله أصلح الله ما بينه وبين الناس ومن أصلح أمر آخرته أصلح الله أمر دنياه. يوسف ابن الحسين, he said, I heard the Nun al-Misri. The Nun al-Misri, he died in the year 245, rahimahullah, from the scholars of the Salaf. He says, the scholars used to admonish each other with three and write to one another saying, and he with three affairs. The scholars, they used to admonish each other with three issues, and they would write these issues back and forth one to another, saying, whoever does well in his private affair, then Allah will make his public affair good. And whoever rectifies that which is between him and between Allah, then Allah will rectify that which is between him and the people. And whoever rectifies the affair of his hereafter, then Allah will rectify his worldly life. Then Allah will rectify his worldly life. So this is going back to being sincere and truthful with Allah. The one who is sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal, and he's truthful in his servitude and worship and fulfilling the obligations. He's sincere in his shahada. He's sincere in his deen. He's sincere in his salah and establishing his religion properly with sincere faith, believing in Allah and striving against his soul. Then Allah will rectify his affairs for him. This is all going back to that narration. مَكَانَتِ الْآخِرَةُ هَمَّهُ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَجَمَعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ وَأَتَتُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةٌ. The one who made the hereafter his main concern, then Allah will place contentment in his richness and wealth in his heart. And Allah will gather all of his affairs for him, and the worldly life will come to him submissively. And the worldly life will come to him submissively. And this chapter continues, inshallah, in the morning. We will discuss some benefits with regards to that narration. The narration of Anas radiallahu anhu, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Man kanat al-akhiratu hammahu ja'ala Allahu ghinahu fi qalbihi wa jama'a lahu shamlahu wa atatu ad-dunya wa raqima wa man kanat ad-dunya hammahu ja'ala faqrahu bayna aynayhi wa farraqa alayhi shamlahu wa lam ta'tihi min ad-dunya illa ma kutiba lahu. Inshallah, we discuss this in the morning and read likewise the rest of this chapter. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.